Amen. What a powerful song. Well, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The title of the message this morning is Prepared for Every Enemy Except One. Prepared for Every Enemy Except One. 2 Chronicles 26. And we'll begin in verse 1. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Lord, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to be able to gather together and worship you today. Lord, we ask that you would teach us from your word this morning, which draws us closer to yourself. Please help us be better equipped to serve this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Prepared for every enemy except one. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, number one, in our lives, we do not have to use our age as an excuse to disobey God. I'll say that again. Number one, in our lives, we do not have to use our age as an excuse to disobey God. In verse 1, it said, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was what? 16 years old, and made him king. Also in verse 3, it repeats that. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. Can you imagine becoming president of the United States at 16 years of age? And I understand we have age restrictions where you couldn't, but just imagine it were possible to become president of the United States at 16 years of age. You would still be under a probationary type driver's license. But you would be commander-in-chief of millions of people. Well, you'd be the president of millions of people, commander-in-chief of thousands of soldiers. Still in high school, but speaking to people around the world. What an awesome responsibility that would be. Still being prompted on tests, and I realize at homeschool this isn't as much of an issue, but still being prompted, now make sure you put your name on that test, and yet your signature at 16 would be to sign bills which would affect millions of people. Imagine 16 years of age. So Uzziah at 16 years old is made king over Judah. The whole point is this, we do not have to use our age as an excuse to disobey God. Whether we're young or whether we're old, we can all obey God. God came to Abraham at 99 and said, walk before me and be thou perfect. So we're not too young to be encouraged to serve God, and we're never too old to be encouraged to serve the Lord. If you hold your place here, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Sometimes people say, well, it's okay to sow your wild oats in your days of your youth. No, it's not okay. It's to our detriment if that's the route we take. Ecclesiastes 12:1. It says, remember now thy creator in the days of what?
Thy youth.
While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Timothy was just a young man, but Paul admonished him to be faithful. Jeremiah thought he was too young. He said he was but a child. God said, go speak the words that I give to you. Notice in Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20. So let's not use our age. We're never too young and we're never too old to obey the Lord, to serve the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 11. The Bible says even a what? A child. Even a child is known by what? His doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. So even a child is known by what he does. And so we know what's in the child's heart. You know, God has some wonderful promises if we in our youth will obey him. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I wonder how many people right now in their lives, no matter what their age, I wonder how many people are living miserable lives for this very reason. Ephesians 6:1. Children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says, what? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And it's a twofold promise, verse 3. That it may be what? Well with thee, and thou mayest what? Live long on the earth. What a tremendous... I wonder how many people die young because they do not obey and honor their parents. I wonder how many people live miserable lives because they don't honor and obey their parents. It probably would be staggering. If we only knew. There's the doctor can't help that. The pharmacist can't help that. Only God can help that. So in our lives, let's not use our age, whether young or old or middle age, let's not use our age as an excuse for disobeying God. Let's obey him and reap the blessings from it. Number two, in our lives, we do not have to use other people's failures as an excuse to disobey God ourselves. Oh, excuse me, I'll read it again. I know it's long. Number two, in our lives, we do not have to use other people's failures as an excuse to disobey God ourselves. There are so many people we talk to and, oh, I don't want to go to church, too many hypocrites. Have you ever seen hypocrites on the job? Has anyone ever seen a hypocrite on a workplace? Oh, yeah. Well, then, sir or ma'am, why do you still work then? If you don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites, then why do you still go to work? Because the workplace is filled with hypocrites. So that's not an excuse, is it? Notice back in 2 Chronicles 26, the reason I say that is because Uzziah not only was young to become king at 16, but we're going to look at some previous failures that took place he could have used as an excuse to disobey God. In 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that, who? His father Amaziah did. And we're going to look in a moment here. Amaziah, his father, started out right serving the Lord, but he didn't end right. And so here, a young 16 years of age, Uzziah, his son, comes up. He could have followed his father's ladder end, but he didn't do that. You know, the study of psychology, part of it, tries to pin the blame on others for present behavior. You know, it's like, you're this way? Well, that's because your parents or your grandparents or this or that. Don't fall for that. That's not going to stand. I've heard people blame their teachers. They didn't do well in school because of their teachers. That's not an excuse. We can study, but I've heard people blame their teachers. Sometimes people blame the area in which they were raised. Well, I was raised in the ghetto, or I was raised here, or I was raised there. That's not an excuse. We're still responsible. Sometimes they blame other Christians. Well, I just mentioned kind of briefly that. I don't want to go to church. Too many hypocrites. So they blame other Christians. Their boss. They blame their boss. It goes on and on. So they justify their bitterness because they're blaming their present situation and their failure to obey God and someone else. Does that make them happy in life? No. You know, we can blame our failures and our faults on someone else. Is that going to make us happy? No. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, okay, something happens. I had some friends years ago, and one of their sons was riding with another young man in a vehicle, and they didn't even know he was with them. And they were down in the Kalamazoo area, and they didn't even know their son was down there. But the young man took an off ramp too fast and rolled over, I think it was a Jeep, and it seriously, critically injured this family's son. Was partially thrown out of the vehicle, and the vehicle rolled on him. And so the end result of that, and it's always the end result of that, you know, insurance companies offer settlements. And sometimes people sue if the insurance company doesn't offer a settlement. But let me ask you, would $10,000 make you happy if your son tragically died? No. Would $100,000 make you happy if your son tragically died? No. Would $1 million make you happy if your son tragically died? No. You can use money to try to buy things, but things can't replace people. But people think that. You know, multi-million-dollar lawsuits, is that really going to help? No. What they need is God. What you need is to get rid of the bitterness, and only God can do that. Sister Leah passed away not too many weeks ago, and she could have been bitter. When she was living in the Philippines and the Japanese came to their island and killed her mom. And all her sisters in one day. She could have lived the rest of her life bitter against the Japanese, bitter against God, but she didn't. She didn't. She forgave them. And so she was able to live a life of peace and blessing. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. Notice in Psalm 128, Psalm 128 and verse 1. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that what? Feareth the Lord. Feareth the Lord that what? Walketh in his ways. We're talking about being obedient. That's what Uzziah made a choice. His dad turned against the Lord. His dad was assassinated. He's thrust into becoming king. He could have been mad at God. He could have been mad at the people who assassinated his dad. But he didn't choose to live the bitter route. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. And what's the next word? Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be what? Well with thee. A person who is bitter is never truly happy. And there's only one person who can help us forgive others, and that's Jesus Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 4. Bitterness will rob a person of happiness. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all what?
Bitterness
and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all malice. And be ye what? Kind one to another. And then what? Tenderhearted. We know that we have really forgiven someone when we can actually be tenderhearted toward them. Someone who has wronged us, and we can actually have a tender heart toward that person, thinking about, if I was in their shoes right now, I would feel so horrible because I had wronged someone. We know we've really forgiven someone else when we can be tender-hearted toward them, actually having a tender heart for the situation that they put themselves in. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as who? As God, for Christ's sake, hath what?
Forgiven you.
Now, if you're saved this morning, how many of your sins has God forgiven? All of them. So according to that, be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So if this is based, if my forgiveness of others is based upon Christ's forgiveness of me, how many sins should I forgive that other people have sinned against me? All of them. And we know if we're sincere, if we're really tender-hearted, if we really feel bad for them in the mess that they've gotten their lives into. So, number two, in our lives, we do not have to use other people's failures as an excuse to disobey God. So, back in 2 Chronicles, in verse 26:4, so Uzziah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now, remember I mentioned Amaziah started out right, did not end right. Let's go to chapter 25, 2 Chronicles 25:1. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old, so this is Uzziah's dad here. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, so he was young. Not as young as his son, but he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was what?
Right
in the sight of the Lord, but not with what?
The perfect heart.
The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We've been looking in the book of Revelation at the different churches, and God looked at the church of Ephesus, and he told them they needed to repent. First of all, he commended them on all the things they were doing, but then he told them they needed to repent because they had lost what? Their first love. So they were doing all the right things outwardly, but on the inside, their hearts were not right. Amaziah here was doing the right things on the outward, but not with a perfect heart. Something was brewing in there. And he came the time to a battle in chapter 25, verse 11. So this is his dad still. Verse 11, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. Now, at first, Amaziah had tried to hire an army to help him. But God sent warning, you better not allow those guys to come with you or I am not going to bless. If you look back in verse 7, chapter 25, verse 7. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, of all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. So he listened to the prophet, the word of the Lord. So he sent that army back. But that army was mad on the way back that they didn't get to help in the battle. And so they killed many of his people on their way out. And so he becomes angry. Verse 13, 25, 13. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go them to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. So in verse 14, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. So this is, we're talking about Uzziah, but this is his dad. Uzziah followed the first ways of his dad. His dad started out right, but then was facing this battle. He hired this army to help him. God said, nope, send them home. He sent them home, but on their way out, they kill thousands of his own people. And so Amaziah wins the battle. But he's angry at God. He's angry at others. And so he takes the idols of the Edomites, the nation he conquers, he takes those idols back home with him and starts worshiping those idols. That's what his dad, Uzziah's dad, did. And so in chapter 25, verse 27, now, after the time that Amaziah, and this is Uzziah's dad, we're still looking at his dad, verse 27. Now, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. So his dad is assassinated. His dad goes to beat that battle. He's so angry that those guys on the way out killed his people, and angry with God. It was God that said, don't let them go with you, send them back. He's blaming God. He's blaming the other army, and he'll go to battle with them and get beat. But so they assassinate him. He dies. That's when you start chapter 26, where we started. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. So, number one, we've seen in our lives, we do not have to use our age as an excuse to disobey God. At 16 years of age, he was willing to take responsibility and obey God. Number two, we saw in our lives, we do not have to use other people's failures as an excuse to disobey God. Uzziah, at 16 years of age, did not take the idols of his father and worship them. I don't know what's happened in your life. In your life, you may have faced some things where it could be very easy for you to be bitter against God or against other people. Uzziah chose not to go either route, but to serve God as a 16-year-old. And he was blessed, greatly blessed. So we're in chapter 26 again now, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 6. This is Uzziah. What is he going to do? How is he going to live? And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God, what? Helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and Mehumims. And on it goes. And then in verse 9, so God is helping him to be successful. He's obeying the Lord. And so now Uzziah is thinking about these battles, the battles that his dad faced, the battles that he is facing. And so he's thinking preparation, 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 protection. In verse 9, moreover, Uzziah built what? Towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. So he's building towers. Why would you build towers? Well, they didn't have satellite or reconnaissance aircraft or spy aircraft to fly over and see where the enemy is, or satellites to see where the enemy is. So they would build towers. And he armed the towers as well, ready for battle. So you got to get up in the air to see the enemy if an enemy is approaching. In verse 10, 26:10, Also, he built towers in the desert. So, okay, it's not just on the city wall, but now we've got to reach out further there in the desert. We need to be up high and have the advantage. If the enemy comes, we need to be prepared. He built towers in the desert and digged many what? Wells. Okay, if you're going to be in the desert, what's the problem that Russia had with Ukraine at first? Ran out of fuel. Ran out of food. Yeah, they're going to attack. They thought it was going to be a pushover, but it wasn't a pushover in 2 days' time. They ran out of fuel. Ran out of food. Okay, if we're going to have towers out there in the desert, we need some water. He goes on in verse 10. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. He's thinking ahead, I need water. I need food. I need towers to see the enemy. I need armament in the towers. I need weapons. Verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. So he's got the towers, he's got armament, he's got his prepared armies. Verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. He's getting his ammo built up. Verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem what? Engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers. Here he's using those towers again. Engines up there on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. Withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. So, preparation. He saw what happened to his dad. He's going to be prepared. He's going to have towers to see the enemy coming. He's going to have them loaded with weapons and ammo. He's going to be prepared. Uzziah seemed to prepare for every enemy except one. And that one would be his downfall. Notice with me in verse 16 once again. Or verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was what? Lifted up to what? His destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to who? The priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was what? Wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the what? The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Back in verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. What are we talking about here? Pride. Pride. He prepared for every enemy except pride. It was pride that brought him down. He trespassed against the Lord. He was so successful, he thought he would do what the priests were commanded to do, and only the priests. And he thought he was big enough and blessed enough that he could do it. Now, he trespassed against the Lord. His own pride brought him down. Verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was what? A leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in what? a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Uzziah prepared for every enemy possible except one, his own pride. His own pride brought him down. He fell without a shot being fired. He fell without an arrow being fired. He fell without a stone being slung at him. He brought himself down through his own pride. You know, many people in life are trying to do very well for themselves and make themselves very comfortable. But their own pride is going to be their downfall, because they're going to miss heaven, because there's no way to go to heaven without getting rid of that pride. There's no way to be saved. As long as we're filled with pride, there's no way to be saved. Notice in Matthew 18, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, Matthew 18:1. You know, we're praying for revival. We're never going to receive. We're never going to see revival until we get rid of our pride. It's not going to come. It'll never come when there's pride. In Matthew 18:1, at the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called who? A little child. Think about who is in his presence. All these disciples, spiritual men of God, even though sometimes they didn't act too spiritual. But who does Jesus choose? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He chooses a little child. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say to you, except ye be what? Converted and become as what? Little children. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall what? Humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." There's no way to get to heaven until we humble ourselves before God. Say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son." It's that humility, confessing that we are unworthy, and then placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on the cross bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. Buried and rose again, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sin. And us repenting, turning from sin to him. It's not saving ourselves. We're turning from that empty life to him, looking only to him to save us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to save us. This morning, have you prepared for every enemy possible except one? Your pride. Your pride, my pride, will bring us all down. We need humility, humility. Notice with me in Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, Micah 6, 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to what? Walk humbly with thy God." This morning, if you're here and are not saved, would you please humble yourself before Almighty God today? Cry out to him, confessing that you're a sinner, confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, telling him that you place your faith in him and him alone to save you and cleanse you. Would you do that? Because none of us know. We can leave here and be dead. Just several hundred feet west of us here, a man on a motorcycle many months ago now, but died right there in a moment. A car pulled out, hit the car, dead. We don't know how long we have. And as Christians, we can do all the preparations for all the enemies we want, but our own pride will bring us down. We need to walk humbly with God. We're praying for revival. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? In a moment, we'll sing. If we can help you from God's word, we invite you to come as we sing. We're here. We want to help you. We all want to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, if there's one here this morning without Jesus Christ, help them today to humble themselves before you and receive Christ. I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, we're praying for revival. It's never going to come to our hearts until we deal with that pride. Lord, help us to walk humbly with you. Have your way now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.